While everybody's making it back, I want this session's titled No Limits, Never Underestimating the Capacity for a Child to Believe. We'll get into a little bit of the practical stuff as a children's minister, but this will sort of, after this one, lay the foundation, and we'll dig into some other stuff. But Mark chapter 10 and verse 15 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And so that verse tells us that children have a capacity to receive the kingdom of God. It says, as a matter of fact, they're the example and model for believers on how to receive the kingdom of God. And so what I want to do is I want to spend a few moments talking about preparing for ministering to children. See, what I found to be true is this, and I said this earlier on in one of the other sessions, the level of importance we place upon preparation is directly proportionate to the level of expectation that we have for what we're about to do. The level of preparation, or the amount of time you spend preparing for something, is directly proportionate to how much you believe will happen in that particular moment in time. And so if we don't truly believe that children, I mean, if you don't expect much, you won't prepare much. If you expect much, you'll be serious about it. You know, I even see this to be true in ministering, not to children, but to adults. You know, I had the privilege the last couple years to speak at Kenneth Hagin's men's conference. They wanted me to do a couple of sessions. And the first time I got the call, you know, I was just like, wow, you know, because I went to school there, and, you know, you see all these ministers come through that you idolize and think, man, they're doing great things. And then they call me and ask me, and I'm thinking, who, little old me? But I was really surprised that they asked me to do it. And so I deemed it in my mind as a big meeting. And so I spent months preparing for this big meeting. But I thought about that after the fact, and I thought, why don't I spend months preparing for what I deem in my mind as little meetings? And the reason I didn't was because I deemed them as little meetings. And I realized the truth that the amount of expectation you have for something is directly proportional to how much time you'll spend preparing for it. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, then, how much time are we spending preparing for our classrooms? Do we expect great things out of them? Or do, when we show up to our children's classrooms, are we just expecting, you know, a Sunday school class, read them a story, and they'll take a nice little Bible verse home for their parents, or a picture they colored, and they'll be, oh, isn't that sweet, isn't that nice? Or are we expecting greater things than what traditionally has been expected out of children's ministry? See, I truly believe that children have the capacity to receive great things, the greater things of God. But if we don't spend time preparing ourselves to deliver the great things of God, we won't do it. They won't see it. We'll spend time, as I said, preparing, you know, interesting Bible stories that don't have a whole lot of truth in them. We'll spend time doing fun crafts that may not illustrate a point. We'll spend time just keeping kids busy while we're waiting for the service to be over so we can go home and get lunch, you know. Just wish they'd hurry up and get out of that service so I can go on home. You know, and yet our opening text tells us that children have the capacity. It says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom as a little child. So the kingdom of God can be received by children. There is a capacity in them to receive all the things of God. So many times we think that a child, you know, well, we just have to, you know, just give them a little bit of time. They could never really be filled with the Holy Spirit. They could never really receive healing in their body. They could never really receive the power of God in their life and go out and do something as a child and affect change and pray for people and see healing. I got to tell you, I am so grateful for what God has done in my son. He's only 10 years old. I'll never forget this. I was out of town on a business trip, and one of our members was going through some very difficult medical problems. Well, you know, we teach our children in our church that, man, God's called you to pray for people and minister to people and help people just like an adult would. And so my son happened to be with my mom and dad and they went by to visit this couple, this older gentleman, and he was just in the back, just, you know, moaning in pain, and my son's out front, and they tell me the story, I wasn't there, but he's out front. He said, hang on just a minute. He just walked right to the back, walked right by all the adults and said, we need to stop and pray for him. And he laid hands on the man, prayed for him, and he was healed. See, but how did he get to that point? He got to that point because our teachers have been taught that we should never underestimate the capacity of a child to receive the kingdom of God into them to be able to deliver it out of them. So I want to talk about setting expectation for children's ministry. Biblical expectation is built upon faith in God's word. And so there's a couple things we need to understand about faith if we're going to establish a faith to believe for great things. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is based on believing what you don't see. And one of the keys and importance to setting the proper expectation for children's ministry is recognizing that what you see is not what that can be. That's pretty good. That rhymes. I didn't even think about that one. What you see is not what that can be. When children walk into a classroom, we get them from all walks of life. I mean, they may be underprivileged children. They may be children that are cute. They may be children that are just, not so cute. I remember one time when I started my church, I was preaching and I got on that subject of kids not being cute. Man, my wife just, man, she reamed me out after that was over, and I'll never do that again. So we'll leave that one where it was. But the reality is that, kids come to us in all shapes, form, and fashions. Underprivileged, maybe they don't seem to be as intelligent as other kids. Maybe they don't seem to be able to learn as quickly as other kids. Maybe they seem like they are, and I think this is overly diagnosed in our culture today, but maybe they may seem to be an ADD kid, you know. I think many times that's just an excuse for being lazy and not providing proper discipline. But all that being said, kids come to us in so many shape, forms, and fashions, and we need to recognize that if we're going to have faith to believe for great things, and every child that walks in, we've got to realize what I see is not necessarily what God can get out of them. And I have to believe that there truly is greatness in them. There's a capacity in them to receive what it is that I'm going to minister today. And that what I'm going to minister today may be a profound truth. And I'm not talking about, who is the, red horse in Revelation. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about, profound truth that a child that, you can lay hands on the sick and people will recover. That a child can receive that. Oh, come on, really? A child? Yeah, a child can receive that truth. Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a child. So that tells me they're the model of how to receive that truth. And so God has a habit of calling things that be not as though they were. In Romans 4:17, it tells us that he calleth things that be not as though they were. And so we have to have this propensity in us to look at the children that we serve and realize that it's important for us to call them what they may not be. To speak words of life and truth over them, that when we leave and there's a child that's unruly or one that maybe stands out from the rest, we don't go out and say, man, that is one weird kid. We actually go out of there and say, Lord, I thank you that the uniqueness in that child is going to be used for something great. I thank you that we speak those words of life and we believe and we place no limits upon what God can do in that child. Now, we said, first of all, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is based on evidence. And so we must, if we're going to set proper expectation for children's ministry, so we get to the place that we want to prepare. Because all this is sort of laying the groundwork for us to walk out of the first part of this session saying, wow, man, God can do some great things. And if that's all that we walked out of here with, we'd say, well, I got to prepare to deliver great things. And so that's what it says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need some evidence to prove to us that children can receive. We've already seen the one verse of Scripture, right? Where Jesus said we need to receive like children. But there are other promises in the Word of God. There are tons of them. I just want to give you two. Two. You find it. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 2, it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Verse 2, his children shall be mighty in the land. That tells me that there's a promise that any child that comes into our ministry under our realm of authority for the time that we have them, they're at that moment, they're our children. Now, they're always going to be mama's child and daddy's child, and you need to respect that. But for that moment, you've got a right to speak into their life. And those children that God has brought to you, He's given you a promise that they will be mighty in the land. No child that God sends to you is to be mediocre. To be one of the, you know, mediocre people in society. We need to put our faith and extend our faith out there over these children that they're going to be mighty, stalwart pillars in the kingdom of God and in society in general. We need to believe that that child that I'm looking at, no matter how different they are, no matter how unique they are, they could be the future president of the United States. They could be the next pastor of a great church. They could be the next president of a corporation. We need to speak those words over their life and set expectation for that. We also need to set expectation not only that they can be pillars. It says there, it says that generation, they'll be upright and they'll be blessed, that they're going to be blessed in everything they do. But there's another promise regarding children that I want to focus on a little bit of time on. And it's a little more spiritual, but I believe it's important. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." And then he says these words, and I think it's an interesting... How many of you know God is not at a loss for words? But he chose these words. He says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will operate in the gifts of the Spirit." Why do we seem to think that that's just reserved for the adults and only the real spiritual adults? What he says is that in our children's classrooms, there's the capacity, if we'll make room for it and prepare for it and expect for it, for children to see the gifts of the Spirit move in their life. Now, the interesting thing about children is they don't trump up the gifts of the Spirit in the way we do. You know, we have a gift of the Spirit in our services. "Oh, thus saith the Lord, ye yea, my little dumplings." And, you know, we get into all that kind of stuff, right? But kids, it's amazing to see a gift of the Spirit operate through a kid. A kid could have I've seen it where a kid would have a word of knowledge. I've seen it. My son's amazing. I should bring him down here and let him just stand in front of you and talk for a little bit. But all of our kids are amazing, right? It's just because he's my son. But I've seen him. The gifts of the Spirit operate through him. Well, he'll come home and he'll say, "Dad, you know, so I just really feel like we need to pray for so-and-so. I think he's going through a tough time." That's a word of knowledge. And I know what's going on in the kid's life and he doesn't. See, we need to have that expectation that the gifts of the Spirit and the mighty things of God can flow through our kids. Now, it's one thing to expect those things, because we all get hyped up about that. Rah, rah, right? We're going to see great things happen in our children's ministries. We're expecting great things. But, you know, expectation without preparation is hollow expectation. You know, I think about our church, and as it was growing, we were meeting in a 7-Eleven storefront that we had remodeled when we first got started. And I'll never forget this. We had about 25, 30 people. And I had the opportunity to buy, enough chairs to put in there to seat everybody. And I went out to, you know, because we didn't have a tremendous amount of money at the time. So I went out to Sam's and found these decent little Sam's Wholesale, sort of like Costco. And you got Sam's down here, don't you? So I went out to Sam's and I bought these chairs. And I remember when I bought them, I thought, well, you know, we got 25 people. So maybe I'll buy 40 chairs. And then out of my heart, just something said, buy 200. 200 chairs. Well, expectation for great things mean you'll prepare for great things. Now, I bought 200 and we had to stack some away because we couldn't even get 200 in the sanctuary. But I put 150 out. And I watched God fill that little 7-Eleven up to 180 people that we had to sit them out all the way out in the hallway. And then we had to move to greater expectations. The point I'm trying to make is that unless we prepare for what we expect, we won't see the great things happen. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about expectation. Paul said, talked about empty or hollow expectation in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. He said in the NIV, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints." He says, "I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it." And so there were these people eager about what would go on. In verse 3, he says, but I'm sending the brothers in order. I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow. Notice where there was eagerness, but eagerness can be hollow. But that you may be ready. Everybody say, be ready. As I said you would be. For if any, and goes on to say later in the verse, if any come with me and find you unprepared, not to say anything about you, we would be ashamed of having been so confident. See, to walk out of here with our hair on fire and saying, man, great things are going to happen through our children's ministry. Kids are going to operate, you know, in the gifts of the Spirit. We're excited. But we don't spend time preparing for that to happen in our classes. It'll be an empty expectation. And so how do we deliver faith and power? How do we deliver classrooms where the power of God can move? Well, I got to tell you this, you can't deliver it if you're not full of it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get full of it. And so what does that mean? Well, real simple. Romans 10:17 says faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so for us to be able to give faith, we got to have faith. For us to be able to give faith, we got to hear the word. We got to get it settled down in our heart. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 says, and when they would pray, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And verse 34 says, and with great power they gave witness. So you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to give power. So you got to have the Word in you, and you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to give that. And so if we bring that down to our children's ministries, there's some things you just have to do to be successful in children's ministry and to see great things happen. Number one, you got to spend time studying your lessons. So that you're not just giving them, but they're coming from your heart. I mean, I could have stood up here today and just read what I had on paper, and you'd have got a lot of the same thing I'm giving you. But I had to get this down in my heart. And so I can tell you, I got in last night about 11 o'clock. I sat up till about 1:30, just soaking this in again, soaking it in again, to make sure I gave you something from my heart, that I was full of something to give you instead of just words on a paper. If we're going to deliver faith into the hearts of these kids, we've got to soak in those lessons so that they become real to us. So that when we teach on how to believe God, or when we teach on how to use the name of Jesus, it is real in our own lives, and we're giving out of our overflow. We've got to be able to spend time. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got to tell you, you need to prepare your lessons like Pastor Matt asked you to stand in the pulpit and deliver it to the people, the adults on Sunday morning. If you were to stand in front of the adults tomorrow morning and give the lesson that you're supposed to give to these children tomorrow, would you spend more time preparing for it? Would you spend more time knowing it? Would you spend more time getting it down into your hearts? To see great things happen in children's ministry, we have to spend time studying these lessons, getting them down in our heart, understanding them. I mean, I got to tell you, and you know, life is busy, and sometimes life just gets in the way, and you got to show up and wing it. And I understand that happens sometimes. But oftentimes winging it is just a sorry excuse for not making the time. I mean, a lot of times these lessons that you wind up teaching, because they're broken into small bites, especially the curriculum I write, in 15 minutes, 20 minutes just alone with God, sitting down looking it over, and you can have it down in your heart. Now, it may require more time for you, but you need to spend the time preparing so it's real for you, so you're excited about it. You don't want to be the, you know, the Peanuts teacher, you know, wah, 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 wah. You want to be the one that the kids are engaged and excited with. You know, I mean, that's important. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then we also need to spend time just preparing our hearts by praying in the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. By spending time in heartfelt prayer over the children's ministry. I mean, I would ask you, seriously ask you the question, and we're going to talk about in a later session how to pray for kids. There's some specific ways in the Bible we can pray for children and see great things happen. But I would ask you this just up front. How much time do you spend praying for your class? How much time do you really spend, whether it's on your knees, whether it's driving to and from work, have you turned the radio off or stopped texting while you're driving? Whatever, I don't know. But have you turned it off and just said, Lord, I'm going to spend this time praying for this class. I'm going to pray for these kids. I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get myself built up. I'm going to believe God for great things to be accomplished in my classroom. I got to tell you, great things can take place. I'll tell you one scenario. It was just amazing to me. Right out of Bible school, I came back and I was a children's minister and youth minister and outreach minister at the church I was in, and it just did anything that gave me to do. And we did a vacation Bible school one year, and I'll never forget this. We had bused in these kids from an underprivileged housing complex. And you could tell these kids had never been churched. I mean, if they had, whoever did it didn't practice this stuff. And these kids came in, and you could tell they were just, and you know, I was young, and I didn't know better, but I just thought, well, I'm just going to believe God that they received just like anybody else would. I'm going to believe just like an adult that looks like they haven't been church could walk in and sit down, and a God could dynamically change their life and go do that with these kids. I'll never forget these four boys. We walked them through the Bible school. They showed up every day. And the first day we showed up, I can't remember which day it was, but one of the days they showed up, they made a decision in one of the classrooms to accept the Lord and for him to be born again. That's a great thing, eternal. They're heaven secured for them. But then one of the lessons in the vacation Bible school that I have talked about the power of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And here are these kids, never churched before. Only just a couple of lessons, and they were just born again, and that's it. And I taught on the curriculum. Actually, I didn't teach it. The teacher taught it. But the curriculum I wrote was about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And these kids sat there and heard this lesson, and these three, four boys raised their hand and said, I want to receive that. Well, the teacher, this particular teacher, had no expectation for that. She hadn't prepared. She had no expectation that what if one of these kids says, I want to receive it? How am I going to minister to that to them? Had no expectation for it. So she ran out of the room. I got to get Tommy. So ran out of the room. So this is the amazing thing about the capacity in children to believe and receive. Ran out of the room. They're sitting in the front of the sanctuary waiting, because she just took them. That was the quiet place. So they were sitting there waiting on them. And I walk back in. As I walk into the room, all four of these boys have their hands raised speaking in tongues. Nobody prayed for them. Nobody laid a hand on them. Kids have the capacity to receive if we'll just teach them and believe. And so, there's two stories there. First of all, no expectation on her part. So it really, she taught the lesson. Thank God for that and her faithfulness. But no expectation for God to do the supernatural things for these kids. Oh, I can impart truth, but God really won't deliver on that truth, will he? Imagine that. And then the greater story there is that children can receive. They can believe. Yes. And so we have to have this expectation in us, and we have to spend time praying and getting ourselves prayed up so that we walk in and we truly are believing God that our classrooms won't be the... You know, I remember growing up as a kid, and I remember going to the denominational church that I went to, and I remember it was just not exciting. You could tell the teacher had no expectation of anything more than throwing a couple of... How many of you know what a flannel graph is? Throwing a couple flannel graph, figures of, Joseph or Moses up on the board. And while I looked at them, I thought, well, that's got a little bit of color in this classroom, and it caught my attention for a little bit. I mean, and people were doing the best they could back then, I guess. But I had no recollection of anybody that ever believed that anything great could be in me other than one man. And I'll talk about him later on. To be honest with you, I don't remember his name, but I remember what he did that caused me to accept Christ and was the beginning of me, seeing great things in my life. And so at the end of the day, the thing I want to stress in this session is that we need to expand our expectation of what can happen. And if we'll expand our expectation of what can happen, then when you leave here today, if you're teaching tomorrow morning, you'll think, man, God can do great things through my classroom tomorrow. If you really believe that, and you don't see that as, because I talked about earlier, I saw that meeting out there at, Rhema as a big meeting. You won't see any of your meetings as little meetings. They'll all be big ones. God will be able to do great things. And so Ephesians 3:20 says of God, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God can do more than you'd ever imagine in the hearts of children. Great things. Kids filled with the Holy Spirit. Kids learning how to operate by faith and lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Kids learning how to share their faith with their friends and watch them come into a relationship with the Lord. We can believe for those great things. Kids operating in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I remember talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I don't know if I even have this lined out in a future lesson, but I remember, you know, I made opportunity for the Spirit of God to move in my children's classrooms. You know, I don't care if I was teaching on a Wednesday night to just a few kids. I always tried to make opportunity for the kids to have a moment to worship God and turn their heart toward God and see God move. I mean, we'd never think of having a church service where we didn't spend some time worshiping God and expecting the Spirit to move. Why would we not do that in our children's classrooms as well? Well, I mean, and oftentimes it wasn't because I had some great musician to help me do it. Oftentimes it was just singing a song, a cappella with them. But creating an atmosphere where God could truly move. And expecting God to move. Expecting God to move to the point that, you know, I would at times, I'll never forget this one instance. And I don't know if you were a part of this, I think it was just some of the boys. But the Lord had laid it upon my heart just to get some of the children together on a Sunday evening. We didn't have Sunday evening service. And he told me, what I want you to do is, for these boys, and this takes great expectation. I want you just to compile some praise and worship songs that they know, and specifically worship songs, and I want you just to turn it on, and I want you to sit down, and I want you just to worship God and let them sit there. I thought, Lord, that's... But see, I knew God wanted to do something great in these kids. And what I saw was amazing. I know Philip was a part of it. And I remember as we sat down and we played those songs, I watched as I began to worship, these kids begin to stop and follow my lead and begin to worship. And I began to watch them lift their hands and worship. Then I began to watch these kids begin to weep. That was just so strange for me to see children weep in the presence of God. Why would a child have any reason to weep? They weren't weeping because they had done something wrong. They were weeping after the fact. They told me this. God had showed them things about their future as a child. Revelation. Great things happening in their life. I remember her brother, Philip, he's a youth pastor now and a leader in a church. I remember him telling me afterwards. I asked him, so what did God show you? I remember him telling me, God showed me I'm called to the ministry. And he's doing it today. How did that happen? I mean, I don't know. Maybe God would have got to him some other way at some point. But I do know this much. Had I not had the great expectation that God could do miraculous things, the things he did for me at 18 years old, and this 6 or 7 or 8 year old kid, never would have happened. And I got to tell you, he got a 10-year head start on me in ministry. Because he recognized at 8 years old and said 18 years old, God had called him to something. And so the point is we need to have great expectation. We need to look into our children's services and prepare for them just like they were an adult service. Have the same opportunities, the same expectation. I realize classrooms are different and they're not always structured the same way, but we always need to have great expectation. That being said, we never, ever need to close a service or a class without giving children opportunity to receive and act upon what we've done. And what we've taught. That's a practical truth that I would give you that you need to take away from this session. That if you expect great things, then give the opportunity for great things to happen. Never close a classroom without giving children a chance to respond to what you've taught. Never close the classroom without a child given the opportunity to receive the Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit, to pray for one another, to offer, just to have them respond to God. Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not. Give them opportunities for their heart to continue to be drawn. Never close a service without an opportunity for commitment. Why is that? Well, I believe it's because of this, and I want to encourage you in this. You know, we talk about great expectation, and we talk about all of these things that God can do in these kids, but how many of you know that's going to come through you? And I want to spend just a few moments. I hadn't prepared to do this, but I just feel like I need to. I want to spend a few moments encouraging you that God can use you to do great things. That you shouldn't see yourself as some second-rate citizen in the kingdom of God. You should see yourself as someone that God can use pour great things in these kids. I don't care what age you are. If you're a teenager, if you're serving in children's ministry, do you realize that to these children, I've used this phrase in my church, you are God in skin. See, when Jesus walked the earth, he was God, big G, in the flesh. He was God in skin. But John said to us as believers, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Do you realize that God, when he looks at you, he sees you as him living in you in skin. You may not be big G in skin, but you're a son of God. You're of the same class, nature, and genus as God, and you have the same ability. When God looks at you, he sees it just like Jesus was in that classroom ministering to those kids. You have the ability in you to do it. Do not minimize your ability to minister to these kids. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the preparation that you've made leading to that classroom. And then take bold steps of faith to step out and trust God to do it. And I got to tell you what will happen. There'll be sometimes you'll step up and you'll walk away and think, boy, I fell flat on my face. But I've always said this. I'd rather fall flat on my face and get half of it than to never try and get all of it. And when I say all of it, get all or nothing, right? And so I want to encourage you to just believe that, you know, you have within you. I don't care how old you are. Teenagers that are here, you have within you God and the ability to minister, allow him to minister through you to others. All right? Let's pray before we end. Father, thank you so much for the great things we can expect through our children's ministries, the great things we can expect to take place in the lives of these children. Children truly born again, coming into a real encounter with you. Children filled with the Holy Spirit in our children's classrooms. Children learning to operate in the power and authority of the name of Jesus. Children learning to operate in the truth of God's Word. Children learning to operate and flow with the Holy Spirit, to grow to know Him in a real and personal way so that He can move through them to minister to others. I thank you, Father, for the great things that we expect based on the promises in your Word. And because of that, we'll spend time preparing. We'll spend time studying our lessons. We'll spend time praying and getting ready for these classes so that great things truly can take place through us. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.